This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Tuesday, September 6, 2022, and today will be better than yesterday. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home in Montana. Taylor Schwenk is working from the Schwenk Studios in the foothills of Connecticut. And Sarah Abbott is not here, Taylor, and I'm a little upset about that because I know that Sarah is the world's biggest Harry Styles fan, and I needed to hear her input on the question of whether or not he actually spit on actor Chris Pine. What do you think?
I've watched the video a million times. I cannot tell. I'm also eager for her take. Normally, Sarah and I connect early on in the morning. We have not talked today. So I guess both of us and the listeners are just going to have to wait until the next show to get her take on all this. We don't even really know what's going on. So maybe she's got some.
What was your opinion?
I say no. I say he did not spit on Chris Pine.
What are you kidding?
I'm like I'm squinting. I mean,
the reaction from both of them, do you think that it was some sort of a setup? But Chris Pine clearly was like, what are you doing?
Maybe.
And I don't know if it was staged or what the deal was, but something happened.
Yeah, something happened, but I didn't see the projectile, you know? Like, you really, if you saw it, I mean, I guess you were squinting pretty hard, but I don't know about that. Something definitely happened. I have questions about whether it was staged like you, but I don't know that actual saliva from Harry Styles made it onto Chris Pine. That's my,
you know, now that I think about it, Sarah would have been useless in that conversation because she know which side she's going to wind up favoring, right?
Of course.
You know, Harry Styles do something wrong? Not a chance.
He would never. Yeah. Yeah. So.
All right. That's the vote that's going to take place the next time we have Sarah on the podcast. The vote that's going to happen in the fall is about whether or not Shohei Ohtani is the American League MVP, despite all the heroics from Aaron Judge this year. And Ohtani seems to be wanting to make this vote really difficult. This is part of what he did on Monday night.
First pitch on Shohei, swings at that one and lifts a high fly ball that's carrying deep out into left center. It's out of here. A two-homer night for Shohei. That home run for Ohtani is number 32 of the season, and it's showtime with an exclamation point tonight.
That was Terry Smith, Angels Radio, AM 830. Wow, Shohei Ohtani now, 32 home runs in the season. That's second best in the American League. He's got 85 RBI. He's going to drive in 100 runs. OPS of 151, or adjusted OPS of 151. His pitching side this season, 11-8 with a 2.58 ERA. Those are crazy numbers. But on the flip side of this conversation, Aaron Judge is doing the impossible, it seems like. Score was tied 2-2, sixth inning, Yankee Stadium. This happened.
Swing and a drive, deep left field. Judge sends it way out of here into the second deck. Home run number 54. The Yankees jump in front, 4-2.
And they were on their way at that point to a 5-2 victory. Aaron Judge, 54th home run. He's been putting up crazy numbers. The Yankees have seen their lead shrink dramatically in the American League East race. So we're going to be talking with Tim Kirkchin about all that coming up. The Yankees did get bad news in recent days. It appears that the regular season, at least for outfielder Andrew Benintendi, is over. He broke his right wrist, a hamate bone hook, needed to be corrected through season-ending surgery. We will see whether or not he might be able to return sometime in the postseason in some role. He was hurt taking a swing on Friday night and put on the injured list on the very next day. A big day for the Toronto Blue Jays, Taylor, in Baltimore, where they faced the Orioles in a doubleheader. Bo Bichette had himself a day.
Bo's got a two-homer night. He swings and he charges one. Straight away center field, going back to the bullpen, and it is gone! A three-homer game for Bo Bichette! He's homered to all three fields!
Yeah, in the doubleheader, Bo Bichette was 6-for-10 with those three home runs in game two. That sound from Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And Taylor, if you look at the American League standings today, a little separation between the Blue Jays, the Rays, and the Orioles. They're trying to run them down for the wild card race.
Yeah, it was moving day yesterday. Pretty disappointing, but you know, highlights the deficiencies of this Orioles team. You know, they just don't have enough pitching. They've done a great job, you know, pulling guys off the scrap heap and, you know, molding them into effective pitchers, but it just wasn't enough against a truly solid Blue Jays team, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and I still have questions about why they traded a reliever and didn't add help at the deadline when they had a chance. But we'll see if they can turn this around moving forward. On Sunday in St. Louis, Cardinals, Cubs, and this happened.
The one strike pitch, a swing, a long one, left center field. It's a gunner for Pujols, 695, 2-0 Cardinals in the eighth. Unbelievable.
John Rooney with that call on the Cardinals radio network. Albert Pujols now within one home run of catching Alex Rodriguez on the all-time home run list. Here was Albert talking after the game.
It's pretty special, obviously, but I think was a special that we came up with the win. And, you know, Miles today did an unbelievable job to keep us in the game, to stay in there and finish strong. And I think I shared this early outside with Jim. I think Rick Horton would say something. I think as I was walking, as I was in the cage, hitting, he'd say something. It'd be amazing, you know, if he ever comes up and hit his last home run against the Cubs or something like that. And it happened, you know. That's why if you look, I was smiling, you know, all the way when I hit first base, all the way until the home plate, because it was like that was the last thing that was playing in my mind, you know, and I just couldn't believe it happened. But I just thank God for the opportunity and to be able to do it like this in front of our fans, you know, it's pretty special.
Hot Ticket is brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seats Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live. And they were supposed to have live events in Pittsburgh yesterday, but the Pirates and the Mets got rained out. They'll play a doubleheader to make that up. Mets ace Max Scherzer says he's fine to make his next start. He came out after 67 pitches Saturday because of fatigue in his left side earlier in the year. He missed 7 weeks because of a left oblique injury. So this is a big concern for the Mets going forward. We're going to be talking about all that with Tim. And one more note, last night, Jeff Passan broke the news that the Boston Red Sox reached a one-year, $10 million extension with Enrique Hernandez. I think that can end all the speculation within the industry, and there is a lot about whether or not Alex Cora is coming back as manager. I don't see Kike coming back unless he assumed that Cora is returning as well. Taylor, what else you got?
Buster, one thing to note, the College Game Day podcast is in full swing. We have week one in the books. Pete Thamel, Reese Davis, and friends, they recap that on Monday's show. Wednesday's show is with David Pollack, as well as Reese and Pete. They're going to flip it forward and see what Pollack has seen on the tape from week one. And then Friday's show with Bill Connolly, the guys are going to be making their picks, race for the ribeye. They are wagering on a steak dinner throughout the season, so you'll get an update on their week one results and what they're thinking for week two. That is the College Game Day podcast. You can listen to that wherever you're listening to this podcast right now and watch it on ESPN's College Football YouTube channel.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, a Foxaloner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provides one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurological disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Seam heads rejoice. This is Timmy Time.
Baseball is the greatest game.
With Tim Kirkson.
It never disappoints you.
On Baseball Tonight.
Tim Kirkson covers baseball for ESPN. And Tim, before we get to all the baseball, first off, how are you doing this week?
I'm good, Buster. I did a game last night in Houston. Didn't get much sleep. I got more sleep than you did as normal, but all's good.
Well, and I'm going to ask you about that in just a second. But first, I want you to weigh in on the whole Harry Styles, Chris Pine thing. Which way do you fall in terms of what happened on that?
Well, you're going to have to explain who each one of those guys is. Please.
Sherry, you want to jump in here?
Oh, do I? I can explain all of this.
Well, Harry Styles is someone who's relatively well known in the music industry. Yes, Sarah?
Yes, and he is now making his way into acting.
Okay, and Chris Pine is an actor, and there's a question. Go ahead, Sarah. You can present the question to him.
So there's been major drama throughout this whole movie premiere cycle for their movie Don't Worry, Darling. And at the premiere, there is a question if whether or not Harry Styles spit on Chris Pine.
What do you think, Tim?
Buster, you told me you were going to throw a curveball at the beginning. You've thrown more curveballs than Lance McCullers Jr. Why would you ask me this? Last night on the broadcast, I was telling him about, the closer for the Twins named Duran and the third baseman for the Rangers named Duran. We almost had a Duran-Duran matchup, and Roxy Bernstein took off with all this musical reference. I didn't even understand what he was talking about. And now you throw this at me. Why? Why would you? You just want to make me look stupid about pop culture, which I have confirmed 1,000 times. I just found out who Bad Bunny was at the Little League World Series. I got killed for that. Now I'm going to get killed for this.
All right. So promise me that when our podcast taping is over, that you go and dig into the question of whether or not Harry Styles spit on Chris Pine on purpose. What do you think?
All right. Well, now I have to go watch it. I mean, the last time you did this to me, Will Smith got slugged by whatever happened. And I was talking to the real Will Smith in the Braves clubhouse. That's how clueless I was that morning. This is so bad when you ambush me. I look even worse than normal.
And for the record, it was Will Smith who slugged right. Chris Rock.
Right. Sorry. I can't even get it straight. And those are two huge guys in the industry. Sorry.
I'll give you a more obscure question that I know you're going to know the answer to. This is a Bleacher tweet from Doug Steiner who asked, watching Blue Jays and Orioles, can Tim explain Earl Weaver's connection to tomatoes?
Yeah, Earl Weaver was really good at growing things, okay? And Pat Santarone, who was the head groundskeeper at Memorial Stadium a million years ago, great guy, Pat Santarone, he used to grow tomatoes also. So they had a competition between Pat Santarone and Earl Weaver who could grow the best tomatoes. So Earl told me a few stories about that he was always better than Santarone, even though Santarone said he was better than Earl. But to me, at least this is my understanding, that was the genesis of it, a competition between the groundskeeper and the third greatest manager of all time.
So did you ever wade through the tomatoes out there?
I saw the tomatoes. And again, the tomatoes were a little bit before me, Buster. That was mid-70s, early 70s. I got there briefly late 70s, early 80s. But yes, I saw Earl's tomatoes, and they were really good. And I saw Santarone's tomatoes. They were really good, too. I would say Santarone was better than Earl at tomatoes, but not by much.
You did see also the Astros on Monday. And I feel like because we talk so much about the Yankees, we talk about the National League East race, we don't give the Astros enough credit. You saw them on Monday. How well prepared for this do you think this team is for October?
They're really good, Buster. They went into last night with a 2.98 ERA, which is basically by far the best in the American League. And then they threw their 13th shutout. Last night, they went into last night with a 2.13 batting average against and then allowed four base runners against the Rangers. Their pitching is great. Their bullpen was tremendous. Brian Abreu came in last night and was throwing 100 with a slider from hell. It was ridiculous how good their pen was last night. But the big thing was that Hunter Brown started that game. He pitched 6 scoreless innings. He breezed through the first 3 innings, allowed 1 base runner who got wiped out on a caught stealing. He throws upper 90s with a great curveball with a really good slider at 94, 95 with a slider. It was ridiculous. So last night, James Click told us the story about, I asked him, what's the first time you saw Hunter Brown? And he said, well, he was with we had drafted him. He came in and he was showing some of our people what he's got. And one of the pitching coaches said, all right, you got anything else? And Hunter said, yeah, I got this curveball, but my high school coach wouldn't let me throw it because the catcher couldn't catch it. And so the pitching coach said, well, let's take a look at it. So he threw this ridiculously heartbreaking power curveball, and it was so good. The pitching coach said, throw another one of those. And he kept throwing them. So now he's added this curveball to the repertoire. And the point here, Buster, is let's say this kid is as good as he was last night. Suddenly, he's in play to pitch in the postseason for the Astros. And assuming Justin Verlander comes back, and he told me yesterday, he said, I certainly hope I'll be back. So I took that as a yes. They're going to take 2 really good starting pitchers and put them in the bullpen. That's how deep their rotation is. And now they added Hunter Brown, who, again, if he keeps throwing like this, he has to be on the playoff roster. That stuff plays anywhere. That stuff plays in the playoffs. So the rich get richer, elite defensive team, best pitching in the American League. And even though they're not a great offensive team, they're a good offensive team.
You and I have seen enough baseball to know that being the favorite guarantees nothing. But as we sit here today with 4 weeks to go in the regular season, I don't think there's any question when we get into the American League playoffs, the Astros are going to be the favorite, yes?
They're going to be the heavy favorites when they go in. And that's nothing against the other teams. The Astros are that good. As you know, Buster, they got to 80 victories in fewer games than any Astros team in franchise history. And they've had some pretty good teams there. I think this team is built really well. I'm not sure about what they're doing in left field without Michael Brantley for the season. We're not sure what they're doing in center field, but their offense from their infield is so good. Jose Altuve is really running well, by the way. 14 steals this year, wow. 13 steals the last 3 years combined. And I watched him run first to third last night. That's as well as I've seen him run in a while. The point is, I think they're loaded, but they're mostly loaded with pitching to the point where, you know, maybe Christian Javier, who had a 13 and a 14 strikeout game back to back this year, is going to pitch out of the bullpen in the postseason because he can do that. Maybe Luis Garcia is going to pitch out of the bullpen in the postseason. That's how good their rotation is right now, assuming, of course, Verlander comes back and is healthy.
I was on SportsCenter yesterday, and before we started, the producer asked me the question about, hey, what do you want to talk about with the Mets and Braves? And I want to see if you agree with me on this. You know, we're seeing what's happening with the Yankees. I think you would agree with me that if the Yankees lose the American League East race, it'll be the greatest collapse in baseball history, correct?
I would say I got to think about 51 and 78, but yeah.
And I'm basing that off the numbers. 15 and a half game lead has never been blown before.
Right. Yes. That's absolutely true.
And if the Yankees lose the division, that'll be the narrative, the greatest collapse ever. I think the whole Mets Braves thing is so completely different. I don't think this is the case of the Mets blowing it, Tim. In fact, I looked it up. You know, since June 1, which is really the demarcation period for the Braves when they took off, the Mets have been playing at 100-win pace, and yet the Braves have just about caught them. That's why I don't think you can say that the Mets blew this thing if they don't win the division.
Absolutely not. The Mets have played exceptionally well all season, and especially lately. The Braves are just on. I saw what you tweeted out about what they've been like or whatever since June the 1st. It's absurd how good they have been. And they're better than they were at this time last year. Spencer Strider has added another element to them. And, of course, so has Michael Harris II in center field. I really, really like the Braves right now. And I've said this for weeks now, and so have you. That National League playoff is going to be a free-for-all of the highest order with three elite teams. And I'm not even putting the Cardinals in there yet, and they've been great since August 1st. So a lot of really good stuff going on in the National League. But the Mets have not given this away. They've just been caught by a red-hot team.
Yeah, and I'll give you a reason in a moment why the Cardinals might be even more dangerous than we thought. But first, I want to mention Max Scherzer came out after 67 pitches on Saturday because of fatigue in his left side. He missed 7 weeks early in the year with an oblique injury. He told reporters, you know Max's personality, I'm fine, I'm fine. He's going to make his next start. Tim, there's no way around this. This is going to be an issue the rest of the year, yes?
Yeah, I remember in the last few years, for a variety of reasons, he's been too fatigued to make a start or finish an inning or something. It's very unlike Max Scherzer to be that way, but he's such a max effort guy, and he's so violent in everything he does on the mound that I always worry, is he going to get hurt again? And that's not to say he's not going to post up in the postseason, because he is. But yes, of course you have to worry about somebody who goes at it as hard as he does, just like a center fielder who can't stay away from running into the fence. Max Scherzer can't stay away from throwing as hard as he can seemingly on every pitch, and that's going to lead to some injuries. So yes, even though he says he's fine, is he going to be fine the next time? And more important, is he going to be fine on November 3rd? Because that's when they're going to need him if they're going to need to win the World Series.
All right. Tell me this year, what award you're going to vote for the Baseball Writers Association, or are you going to vote for any this year?
Yeah, I was assigned the National League Cy Young Award. And I'm okay. not going to discuss it because I'm not supposed to discuss it openly. I have some solid thoughts on that, but even it is changing just a little bit. It was, I thought, kind of a runaway a couple weeks, 3 weeks ago, but maybe not so much a runaway now.
But in your heart of hearts, I'm guessing there's some relief for you that you're not going to be voting for the American League MVP, because it feels like Shohei Ohtani is doing everything he can to complicate it. We know Aaron Judge has been going crazy. You know, he hits his 54th home run yesterday, batting .342 since the All-Star break, carrying the Yankee team. And at the same time, Shohei Ohtani seems to be getting hotter and even better than he was last year. I tweeted this out this morning that since August 4th, Ohtani's batting .327 with 10 homers in 29 games, an OPS of about 1,100. And Tim, in his last five starts, he has a 1.74 ERA. I know you told me, and you've been telling me all year, Aaron Judge is the MVP, but especially if the Yankees blow the division, how do you assess that race?
Well, you used a good word there, complicated, because that's what Shohei Ohtani does every day. He complicates the entire equation because we've never seen anyone like him. I'm going to say it again. Anyone who votes for Shohei Ohtani for MVP, I'm good with it. There is zero chance. You can argue with that. But if I had a ballot in my hand, and I wouldn't say I'm relieved that I don't, I would vote for Aaron Judge because I think as an everyday player, he's had the best season. I don't think the Yankees would be in. I don't think they'd be in the playoffs without him. He has been so good. So that's why I would vote for him. I'm still an old school guy, Buster. Great player, takes his team to the playoffs. Sorry, you're getting extra credit points for me on that. That's not to downgrade anyone who's on a bad team. It's not Shohei Ohtani's fault that they're on. The Angels aren't very good. But I'm going to give extra credit points that Aaron Judge is doing this for a team that is in first place, and he is the biggest reason that they are.
And we talked about the Yankee narrative if they don't win the American League East. If they do win it, Tim, I think part of the narrative around the Yankees could be that Aaron Judge may have single-handedly held them up, propped them up through this race, because how he's performing, especially in recent weeks, while the rest of the team is sliding, I mentioned some of his numbers, He's played now in 42 games since the All-Star break and has 21 homers. Okay. 42 games for Judge, 21 homers. He has an OPS of about 1,300 in those games. A couple days ago, I texted Aaron Boone. I said, boy, how about the way Judge is performing during this slide for you guys? And he sent back one word, incredible. And then I sent him back another one yesterday after home run number 54, and Boone texted back, amazing. That has to be part of this conversation too, yes?
Yes, Buster, what's the note? He scored every run in a series for the Yankees over the weekend. The last guy to do that was Babe Ruth in 1929, okay? And I'm telling you, the voters remember the last thing that they see. Remember Chipper Jones in 1999, how he went absolutely ballistic down the stretch, took the Mets apart by himself. He deserved the MVP anyway, but he won it because of what he did the last month of the season. We remember the last thing that we saw, and people are looking at Judge saying, the Yankees are a one-man team right now. They can't score any runs unless he drives them in or scores them, and that's why I think he's going to get extra credit points, because we're going to look and say, they were this close to losing that lead, but Aaron Judge said, no, we're going to win this division. If they win the division, I think he's going to win the MVP.
I mentioned a good indication for the St. Louis Cardinals. Last night, Jack Flaherty, in a loss to the Washington Nationals, allowed one run in five innings, six strikeouts, one walk. And this was the important number for me, Tim, his velocity at 96, 97 miles per hour. What do you make of that?
Well, it's very encouraging for the Cardinals, who become an even better team if that's the Jack Flaherty we're going to see in October, and if he continues to pitch even better, and instead of going five, he goes six, seven, eight, even nine. Buster, we can't forget, you did a bunch of his games when he was at his very best. That guy is amazing. As Adam Wainwright told me once, he said, if you want to build a picture of what a baseball player should look like, it would look like Jack Flaherty. I mean, yeah. His athletic ability is off the charts as far as, you know, dunking a basketball and doing whatever it takes to be a ball player and an athlete. He's got all of that. Imagine adding him to a Cardinal team that catches it as well as it does, has MVP candidates at first and third base, has found a way to score some runs, and has other pretty darn good pitching on their team. Jack Flaherty would be like adding, it's not Jacob DeGrom, but like adding Jacob DeGrom to the stretch run if he can be healthy and ramp up those innings.
Yeah, as you know, he was part of that trio of major leaguers who played on the same high school team, Lucas Giolito, Max Fried, Jack Flaherty. And what Ethan Katz told me, who was his pitching coach then, now he's the pitching coach of the White Sox, was that when Jack was in high school, he was a third baseman, and they had to convince him to be a pitcher because he just loved playing third base so much. And I'm not totally convinced that if he had just remained at third base, he couldn't have made the big leagues in that way. And that's because of the great athlete that he is.
Right. And Fried told me, by the way, that when Flaherty was a sophomore, he said, he's the greatest high school pitcher I've ever seen. That's what Max Fried said about Jack Flaherty when he was a sophomore in high school.
All right. So here's the easiest question of the day, besides the Harry Styles question. Okay. Who's going to win the American League Central?
That's impossible. I do the playoff look every single day in my little notebook here where we are. I'm going to say the Guardians are going to win the Central. I have no good reason why, other than I love their starting pitching. I love Bieber. I love Tristan McKenzie. I think if they could get a couple pitchers healthy, I think they can pitch their way in. That doesn't mean the Twins can't win, and it also doesn't mean the White Sox can't win. You made me choose somebody, so I'm going to pick the Guardians, but I don't have a good reason, because that's how close this race is going to go. Three teams to the final week for sure.
Okay, I'm going to pick the White Sox because I want to salvage the preseason pick that I turned in that I would have abandoned 50 times because they were so disappointing. And yet, because there really aren't any great teams in the division, the White Sox are kind of hanging in there. And oh, by the way, they got the potential American League Cy Young Award winner in Dylan Cease. Lance Lynn looked pretty dang good yesterday. They got a lot of Johnny Cueto's pitched well. They got a lot of talent on that team, which is why everyone's been scratching their head about their performance so far this year.
Right. Lance Lynn's last four starts, he's got an ERA just over one. Johnny Cueto has been ridiculously good for a guy who was supposed to be at the back end of the bullpen. And Dylan Cease almost pitched a no-hitter the other day. So I'm with you that the White Sox, of course, can win the division. So can the Twins. I had to pick somebody, so I picked the Guardians. Tomorrow I'll change my mind because that's how much that division changes day to day.
All right, Tim. Thanks for doing this. And yeah, just text me your thanks whenever you see that Harry Styles video, okay?
Oh, I can't wait. I won't know which one is Harry Styles and which one is Chris Pine. I won't even know who's who until I see the spit or whatever it's called.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, see you.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Buster. Just go to Indeed.com/Buster right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Buster. Terms and conditions apply.
This is The Numbers Game with Sarah Langs.
Sarah Langs, a reporter and a producer for MLB.com. Sarah, how you doing this week?
I'm doing great, Buster. How are you?
I'm doing great. So professionally, your job is to watch games, watch video replay, assess, make statistical evaluations, make professional evaluations, which is why you are a perfect person to evaluate the question on based upon instant replay, whether or not Harry Styles spit on Chris Pine. Was it on purpose? Why would Harry Styles do that? What do you make of Chris Pine's reaction to that? It is the moment that everybody in the world is talking about today.
So based on the video, it does seem like he did. The way he looks down, Chris Pine looks down. I have no idea why he would do that if he hadn't just been spit on, sneezed on, something like that. I have no idea the backstory. I do know who both of them are. I'm proud of myself for that. But I'm just going to own up to it and say that I had to watch the video right before we recorded. Because while everyone on Twitter was talking about this last night, I was watching Dodgers, Giants, Angels, Tigers, Carlos Alcaraz, and Marin Cilic in a five-set match that ended around 2:30 in the morning. So I saw the tweets going through the timeline, and I was like, I'll figure it out at another point. But having watched the video, you know, it reminds me of when guys either pretend to get hit by a pitch or they actually do. And I mean, I don't know enough about these two guys to think that Chris Pine would be pretending.
Yeah, I it is, as you say, I mean, it's something that everybody's talking about in social media. I rendered my strong opinion before. I'm sure we'll get resolution when Sarah Abbott, the biggest Harry Styles fan in the world, rejoins the podcast on Wednesday. All right, let's play the numbers game.
Number three is three. So in the second game of the doubleheader in Baltimore yesterday, Bo Bichette hit 3 home runs, and he's been on fire in the month of September. He has about 14 RBI in that span. He's been really, really good. But the really fun part here is that Vlad Jr. had a 3-homer game back in April at Yankee Stadium. So they're just the 4th pair of teammates, each under the age of 25, to have a 3-homer game in the same season. The others were Larry Parrish and Gary Carter for the 1977 Expos, Tommy Brown and Duke Snider for the 1950 Dodgers, and Lou Gehrig and Tony Lazzari for the 1927 Yankees. And now you have Vlad and Bo on that list. I love it.
Number 2.
Number 2 is 54. So we have to talk about Aaron Judge. As long as he keeps hitting home runs, we will absolutely still be talking about him. So he hit number 54 on Monday. That is tied for the 3rd most home runs by any player through his team's first 135 games. Barry Bonds had 57 in 2001. Sammy Sosa also had 57 in 99. And then McGuire, 54 in 98. And Babe Ruth, 54 in 1921. Right now, Judge is on pace for 65 home runs.
Jeez.
Number 1.
Number 1 is 41 and a third. So that is Zach Gallen's scoreless streak going on right now. And I mean, I love the Diamondbacks right now. They've been so much fun to watch with Corbin Carroll, Gallen pitching really well, Dalton Varsho playing great defense. They have a lot going on. But let's talk about Gallen. So that is the 8th longest single season scoreless inning streak in the live ball era, which goes back to 1920. Of course, prior to that, there was a lot less scoring, so a little bit easier to compile a streak. But the overall record, live ball or prior, is that 59-inning streak by Oral Hershiser in 1988. So we'll see if Zach Gallen manages to threaten that.
So, Sarah, I got 2 follow-ups for you. First, and we talked to Tim Kurchin about this, Shohei Ohtani seems to be making this really difficult for MVP voters with how he's going crazy down the stretch here. Yes, in meaningless games. What's your view at the moment of the Judge Ohtani MVP conversation?
I still think that it will end up Judge. And I still think I'm really glad I don't have to make an actual decision this year. Because Shohei Ohtani, we should never get tired of. There should never be a year where he's doing this where it isn't a difficult discussion in my mind. Because this is incredible. And just because he did it last year doesn't make this year any less impressive. He's a better pitcher this year, which is really something that we have to credit him for. I still think if Aaron Judge sets an American League record, hits 65 home runs, that if when we look back at it, you know, in history in 10 years, and he didn't win MVP, that might stand out as sort of an oddity. But, I mean, it is a difficult, difficult decision. I do not know how you choose, but it's amazing because for a while, I think, Judge kind of had it locked up, and then now Ohtani has been playing, I mean, out of his mind lately, as you said.
Out of his mind. Yeah, he's going absolutely crazy on both sides of the ball. I'm with you. Like, thank goodness I don't have a vote. And try to square that with the way the voting went down last year when everybody was like, oh, Ohtani, even though he played on a team that was out of it, he puts up so much value that, he's the guy. And this year he continues to just seemingly get better and better. And last one for you, as you know, New York talk radio has been going crazy of late because you're seeing the 2 New York teams see their first place leads shrivel dramatically. But to me, it's a very different conversation for the 2 New York teams. To me, if the Yankees wind up not winning the American League East, we can rightfully say they completely blew it. And if the Mets don't wind up winning the National League East, I would say the Braves took it from them because I was looking at it yesterday, Sarah, before I went on SportsCenter. The Mets are playing at a 100-win pace since June 1st, and yet the Braves have run them down. Is that fair? Is that a fair assessment in your mind?
100%. Even as you were setting up the question, I was going to say this feels like the Yankees lost it versus the Braves won it, if those were to happen. And that's no disrespect to the Rays, but they haven't been as overwhelmingly good as the Braves have been. I mean, we had that crazy streak between the All-Star break and a couple of days ago where the Mets and Braves didn't lose on the same day for, like, I think it was 14 straight times. I mean, if you look at the Braves, since Michael Harris II debuted on May 28th, they are, I believe, the second best team in baseball behind the Dodgers. I mean, they have been really good. They've called up the right guys with him and Vaughn Grissom. They have two Rookie of the Year candidates in Harrison Spencer Strider. I mean, they are a juggernaut. And again, no disrespect to the Rays, but the reason the Yankees' lead has narrowed is much more about them losing games. As you said, the Mets are still playing at a great pace. They're just losing ground because if they lose one game, the Braves win that day.
Yeah, well, I feel a lot better about the assessment that I gave then about this race, because I think it's apples and oranges when we talk about the New York teams losing leads in the in their respective divisions. All right, Sarah, great to talk with you.
Thanks so much for having me.
On Monday, Marley Rivera spoke with Carlos Correa of the Minnesota Twins. Give a listen.
Carlos, you have excellent numbers at Yankee Stadium. This is a very important series for you guys because of the position that you're in the Central. Can you tell me what's going to be the approach against Jameson Taillon today?
I just try to get him in the zone. You know, he's a pitcher that obviously he's got really good stuff. He wants you to chase some of his stuff in and out, and you just got to try to do a good job of keeping him in the middle of the plate and putting good swings on those pitches. You know, they got pretty good staff over there, but controlling the zone is the most important.
When you look at what's happening with the Yankees on the other side, how much can you guys pay attention to that? They're obviously in a free fall, have had a terrible August. You guys have to worry about your own division. But then how much do you really go, you know what, they're struggling, maybe we can take advantage of this?
It's just part of baseball. I feel like every team struggles at some point during the season. It just happens to be the New York Yankees, so he gets a lot of more media attention. but at the same time, you know, they're in first place by, what, 5 games, you know. I wish we were in first place by 5 games, you know what I mean? So they're in a good spot. They got a great team over there. We just got to go out there and play our game and try to win a series against a great team like the Yankees.
Now when we look at, let's talk exactly about the Central. I mean, basically 5 games are separating these three teams between you guys, the Cleveland Guardians, and of course the Chicago White Sox. What is it going to take, Carlos? I mean, you guys, they brought you here for this.
Yeah, it's going to take us playing consistent baseball for the remainder of the season. We got a lot of games in division now, so those are the games that matter. Like I told the guys when we were struggling at some point, you know, if you lose games outside of your division, that's fine. But when you play in division, those are the games that you want to win. You gain a lot of ground on those. So we got a lot of games against the Guardians, and we got a lot of games left against the White Sox. So we just got to take care of business during those games.
When you look at precisely, you know, just directly, just because you mentioned them, the Guardians and the White Sox, it's been so inconsistent, particularly your offense. And then, you know, obviously you have some guys that are contributing now, but it's basically down to you and Arraez. How much of pressure can that be at times?
No pressure. It's just the job at hand. You know, we just got to go out there, try to get on base for the guys behind us. And obviously we've been dealing with a lot of injuries. You know, our lineup is not the same as it was in spring training. You know, you got Buxton out, Polanco out, Larnack, Kirilov, Sano. You got so many guys that are not in the lineup right now that they're huge contributors. But the guys coming up from AAA, they've done a great job of keeping us in you know, where we are right now, tied for first place. And they've been doing a great job preparing and just going out there and helping us win games. So it's very positive to think about the depth of this organization for years to come.
When you look at inside this clubhouse, and like I mentioned before, you were brought here to win, you bring postseason experience. I mean, there's guys here, but the kind of postseason experience that you bring, no one has. What is the speech at this time of the year? What are the talks like? What do you have to tell these guys so they believe you can do this?
Just give me everything you got. Give me everything you got for 30-some games.
But isn't that what you always do, though? That sounds like a very cliche speech. What do you say?
But when you think about 30 games left and you think about last month of the season, win or just go home early, there's a different meaning to those words. And, you know, we're just going out there doing everything we can to win games, laying our bodies out every single play, focusing pitch by pitch, our work in the cage, our work during batting practice, just focusing on the little details and try to go out there and win ball games.
When you look at the Central, right, and how do you handle the criticism? You know, because you look at the people in the East going, let me tell you about the AL East. You keep people in the West, right, particularly you were on the West for a long time. Let me tell you about the West, and then the Central. You know, like people see it as a lower maybe caliber division. What do you say to people who think that way?
I think it's something that they got to talk to Manfred about if they want to change divisions. There's nothing we can control when it comes to that. It's obvious it's not the best division in baseball. Obviously, you look at the NL West and you look at the AL East and, you know, a lot of really good teams out there. But at the end of the day, you know, when you get to October, it doesn't matter the record. It's who's playing good baseball and who's hot at the time. So we're hoping to make this playoff push, get to the playoffs, and get hot at the right time.
And finally, Carlos, and you know I wouldn't be doing my job if I don't ask you.
Of course.
The narrative around there is, this is a rental. He's going to be here for 1 year. He's going to be gone. He's going to make his money, and he's going to be out. What do you say to the people who don't believe that you're here for the long term and really don't believe in the Twins winning?
I think the relationship here with the Twins has been a very special one. Obviously, you know, like you call cliche, my focus right now is on winning baseball games with this team and getting us to the playoffs and, you know, hopefully build a long-term relationship after that. But I got a job to do first, and that's helping my team get to the playoffs. And then after that, we can discuss other things.
Muchas gracias.
Gracias, mama.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster. Bleacher Tweets for a Tuesday. And Bleacher Tweets are brought to you by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice cold Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Let's go to DGB up first. She writes in, okay, Buster, what's the biggest ALE surprise? Red Sox in last place, Orioles with a winning record, or the Yankees losing a 15.5 game lead? And she notes all these scenarios make Taylor happy, which is true.
Yeah, it's got to be the Yankees retreating. Mm-hmm. Remember early in the year when folks were asking the question of whether or not they might be the greatest team of all time? and now it's possible, although at the end of the last couple of days they've stabilized a little bit, it is possible that they could have the greatest collapse in the history of Major League Baseball. That would be a surprise. What do you think, Taylor?
Oh, yeah, definitely the Yankees. We had a lot of, like, best team of all time conversations. I would be absolutely delighted if they completely collapsed and, you know, had the last wild card spot or something. I don't think that's going to happen, but
okay, let me ask you this. What would make you more happy if the Orioles, and let's, I'm not going to take it, because if I were to give you a choice between what would make you more happy and I said the Orioles make the playoffs, that would be the clear choice. What would make you more happy, that the Orioles finished one games out of the playoff race, and which would tell you what an amazing season they had, or the Yankees blowing the lead?
That's tough. I think probably the Yankees blowing the lead. The expectations for the Orioles were so low that, like, yeah, a sniff of the playoffs is phenomenal. So, yeah, I would say the Yankees full collapse.
Yeah. Now that tells you about, you know, your PTSD about the Yankees. All right.
Yeah. PK Steinberg's up next. He writes, and is it negligence or oversight that something else, Hope and Yelich, that Milwaukee has done very little to address its need for hitting in the past 2 years?
I don't know. Look, their payroll, they're like the Rays. It's only going to go so far. And the fact is that they've done a great job of competing year after year after year, and that is through their pitching, which they focused on. That's the formula. They feel like that, you know, from year to year, you could add, you know, an Andrew McCutchen, somebody like that who's going to help your offense. So I just, you know, to expect the Brewers to significantly add to their offense, I think just is not in line with where their payroll is.
RL Foxy T-Rex writes in, lots of Orioles talk, but how about Arizona 8-2 in their last 10 with series wins over Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and the White Sox, young roster that just welcomed Corbin Carroll and will welcome Ryan Nelson. On Monday, what do they need to do this winter to be competitive next year? And they blanked the Phillies last night. So what's it going to be, Buster?
Yeah, Taylor, have you seen Corbin Carroll run?
I have not seen him.
Oh, my God. The video of him running, it's just like, wow, that guy is fast. He's an exciting player, and it's cool. But, you know, it's interesting. The Diamondbacks are beginning to remind me, Taylor, of your Orioles in this regard, is that the mountain that they have to climb to be competitive in the National League West is a lot like the Orioles in the American League East.
Time to just punt. Diamondbacks.
No, it's not. Come on.
Detroit at Stats Take writes in, does Verlander entertain going back to Detroit?
Not with how they performed this year. Like, if they took a big step forward this year and they were at like 85 wins and you could see that they were building something and the Tigers made the best offer. Yeah, but Tigers feel like they're at least 2 or 3 years away from being relevant again.
Yep, they stink. Zach Beeson at Zach Beeson 22 writes in, is it time to give respect to the AL East champion, the Tampa Bay Rays?
Well, that is, I guess that's a hard prediction at this point. I got to say the events of the last couple days kind of turned that a little bit. Aaron Judge propping up the Yankees.
Last one for today, John at John 4164 9591 writes in, how can you say the Dodgers might not be the best NL team heading into the playoffs when they've been the best all year, even with their injuries? Ridiculous, says John.
Yeah, the point is, and we were trying to make it the other day, in terms of navigating through the postseason, we feel like that the Dodgers are not in as good a position potentially as either the Mets or the Braves because of the strength of the starting pitching. I don't think that's unreasonable, Taylor.
Agreed. It's been a question all year. No big deal. Don't get your feelings hurt, John. And if you want to keep writing in, hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter. Thanks for writing in, everyone.
That's it for today. My thanks to Tim, Sarah, Addie, Sarah, and Taylor. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. Send in your opinions on whether or not you think Harry Styles actually spit on Chris Pine as you go forward. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.